for the show is Lisa Seif, who is a practicing professional counselor and adjunct professor at USI. Lisa invites you to pick up the phone and give her a call at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. We hope you enjoy today's program. And now, Radio Rehab.
Good morning and welcome back to Radio Rehab. It's always good to be here and introduce you to people and discussions and sharings about how we can get better when we have drug or alcohol or other addictive disorder issues going on. My guest today, I want to get right to it because he's from Kentucky, so he talks a little slower than we do here in Indiana. I'm teasing. I always tease him that it takes 2 days of sobriety in Kentucky to total one of ours in Indiana. Anyway, I met this young man, oh gosh, about 6 months ago, I guess. And you know, you can just tell when people are excited about getting better and getting healthy and cleaning out their body and mind so that they can be more productive all the way around. And this guy just reminded me of somebody that had that kind of energy and wanted to be involved and help others, help them get in recovery. So I started to get to know him a little better, heard his story, and I said, you've got to come share with us at Radio Rehab your story. Because I'm hearing a lot about young people starting with marijuana and alcohol, and then it just goes from there. And James' story is an example of how fast and furious addiction can hit a young person. He is, like I said, from Henderson, graduated high school in 2005, went on to Western Kentucky University and graduated there. So he's going to tell us all about how you can go through all those things that look normal on the outside, but have a rave addiction on the inside, started with weed and alcohol and progressed from there. So I know you're going to be interested in hearing his story. Don't hesitate to call if you have any questions, comments, concerns. He's an expert because he's lived it, so he could teach us a lot. Feel free to call 424-1400. So I'm going to turn it over and say good morning, James. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is James, and I am in recovery from alcohol and drug abuse. I am from Henderson, Kentucky. I grew up in Henderson my whole life. I'll start with my parents. My parents got divorced when I was about 6 months old, so I never really had the typical, what you'd say, mom and dad being at home with my family. I was always just me and my mom. So I'm pretty much what you'd call a mama's boy.
All right.
I love my mom. She's been there with me through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I would say I had a pretty good childhood. I never really had to want for anything much. Was treated good. Always had good things, a good school to go to, and things like that. In the eighth grade is when I really first started to use alcohol. I had a few friends who had sisters that were older that would buy us alcohol on the weekends. Of course, we thought we were cool. We'd get a pint or something to split it between six of us, and we would drink on the weekends. And went from private school to the junior high to a public school in the ninth grade, and started smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol more regularly. But growing up, you know, I can always kind of remember that, having a feeling like I didn't really necessarily feel like I fit in. Felt like I was kind of always outcast, maybe a little different than everybody. So I was always looking for something that made me fit in with people. And when I saw that, you know, the guys that I wanted to be with were using drugs and alcohol, I thought, you know, hey, this is something that I can do that they might think is cool, that I can fit in with them. And it also took me out of my own mind, out of my own head. Mm-hmm. I was kind of always seeking something to alter my mind. I wasn't really necessarily happy with who I was or what I was feeling. So I think that's kind of what started me on drinking and smoking marijuana at such a young age.
God, yeah, eighth grade's pretty young.
Yes, ma'am. And looking back on it now, I do think that is. I have cousins that are in the eighth and ninth grade, and I think I can't imagine them doing the things I was doing when I was that age.
But James, so you think a lot of that was just anxiety?
I believe that being self-conscious, having mm-hmm. a lot of anxiety.
More than other kids, you think? Because you look the same on the outside, but your insides
were
a little different.
Yeah, I don't know why. I've always had that feeling of that I didn't necessarily fit in. I don't know. I mean, I had friends. I played mm-hmm. sports and things like that.
Right.
But I just
looked good on the outside.
Yeah, I looked good on the outside, but on the inside, I was completely different. I was hurting for something different.
And yeah.
I turned to like I said, to alcohol and to drugs to try to find to fill that hole inside. And like I said, that's when I started, was in about the eighth or ninth grade. And then in high school, it progressed from smoking marijuana on the weekends and drinking on the weekends to smoking marijuana before school, after school, if we could sneak out during school, just whenever we could get it in, and drinking on the weekdays.
Right off the bat, it became a...
Yes, ma'am. I mean, just the more we could get our hands on, the more we would consume. And that's when I was first introduced to opiates, Lor tabs. Got them from the medicine cabinet at my house or my grandparents' house, or my friends would get them from their parents' medicine cabinet.
What grade then?
That would be starting in high school, which would be the 10th grade in Henderson.
My God, you just got your driver's license.
I know.
Wow.
I was just
already drinking alcohol and drinking and weed and now Lor tabs.
Taking, painkillers. Mm-hmm. And that, the first time I had ever taken, I'd never heard of, painkiller, Lor tab or whatever. And that first time I took it, I think that I was instantly hooked back then. Now that I look back on it, because it just gave me another feeling that the alcohol and the marijuana couldn't give me, that something within my brain just
got attracted
fell
in, to
yeah,
that.
Just got attracted to it, and it progressed. Like I said, from taking them on the weekends to taking them a couple times a week, to actively pursuing to try to get them from on the streets every day whenever I could, and I did that off and on through high school. And I graduated high school in 2005 and went to Western Kentucky University. And, of course, being in college, I went into it with the mindset of I'm going here to party first and learn second.
Right. Good old addict mindset.
Oh, huh? Yeah. So I went to Western, and, of course, we drank pretty heavy. And that's when I never heard of OxyContin before. It was all Lor tabs in Henderson. And I had a friend from Bowling Green that had some OxyContin, and I tried that for the first time my freshman year there. And
what's the difference, James, in your opinion, from Lor tabs to OxyContin, just so people listening
The Lor tab, I think, just wasn't as strong and didn't have as intense of effect as the OxyContin. It was stronger.
Is one a hydrocodone and one an oxycodone?
The Lor tab is a hydrocodone. Oxycodone's so
it's more codeine-based?
Yes, ma'am. And the oxycodone was
more like heroin.
Yes, it was. Mm. And like I said, I really, really liked the oxycodone, and it surprised me how much I was doing down in Western, and still being able to function and go to class and make the grades and lie to my parents and tell them when I was doing good, and to my friends who would say certain things about me, maybe losing weight or acting different, maybe looking different. I was able to pull
people
it off for
were
a
noticing,
long,
though.
Long time. Yes, I mean, they were noticing, and I thought I was hiding it good, but I really wasn't, because it can spiral out of control really quick. I did manage to graduate from Western somehow. It took a little longer than the 4 years that it should have taken, because I was doing a lot of extracurricular activities.
you were creating along the road.
Yeah. But I did finally graduate. And 2 weeks after I graduated, we were out partying, and I decided to drive home, and I got a DUI 2 weeks after I graduated.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. There?
Down
in Bowling Green?
In Bowling Green. So I was kind of forced to move back to Henderson because I didn't have a license and I didn't have a job down in Bowling Green, and I was able to work in Henderson for a family business where I wouldn't have to worry about transportation and all that. So I moved back to Henderson after I graduated, and started hanging out with some people I knew where I could get the drugs that I was looking for in Henderson. And these were guys that I'd known from high school that never left the town. They just kind of hung around. And they were I was snorting the pills at the time, or taking them, and they were injecting them with a needle. And I'd never seen a needle. I didn't know how to do it or what it was all about.
I'll never get that.
Yeah,
bad.
That's exactly what I said to them. I was like, I'll never be like you guys. You
right.
Know? I'll never do that. And the longer I was in Henderson, the more I was exposed to using a needle. And I don't know what happened. One day I just thought, if they're doing it and it feels so good to them, there must be something that it's different.
Well, your brain adapted by mm-hmm. then, too. It's like, and, okay, so what if I have to prick my arm?
Mm-hmm. And I just, I've looked at them and I thought, well, you know, if they're doing it and they're functioning and doing okay, I can definitely do it. So I
that
tried.
That was your addicted brain talking.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't in my right mind at all.
No.
So I tried using, injecting oxycodone for the first time, I guess, probably 3 years ago, something like that, 2.5 to 3 years ago. And
after the DUI.
Oh, after the DUI, yes. After I got
so
my license back.
So the legal intervention didn't get your attention at all.
No, and there's more legal interventions in the
along
future
the road here.
Should have gotten my attention that didn't. But yeah, that was after the DUI, after I'd got my license back. I had a pretty decent job in Henderson, worked in construction. I mean, it wasn't the greatest job, but I was making decent money, mm-hmm. and I was supporting my habit and paying my bills, so I thought that I was doing okay. I might not have had enough money to eat, but as long as I was paying my bills and getting
going
what
to work
I
every day,
to, that's what I thought I was
hide
doing good.
Behind that image. I work every day. I'm functional.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, after about a year or so of injecting the oxycodone, it got to where I was spending so much money. I mean, I was doing things that I never thought that I would do. I wasn't in my right mind. I was stealing from my parents and my family.
So your value system was breaking down.
It was completely dwindling away. It consumed me. I mean, from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, that's all I could think about was how I was going to get something or how I was going to get money to get something.
How old were you by then? About 21?
22? About 22, something like that, right around there.
And already by 22, your brain was hijacked by
yes, ma'am. I mean, I was not thinking in my right mind at all.
Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We're talking to James and hearing his story about his chemical addiction. So we will be right back. We got to give our sponsors a minute.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Ashley makes great furniture.
And they make it affordable.
When Ashley Furniture Home Store, the number one name in furniture, holds its President's Day event, you want to be there. Get sofas for an amazing $349, queen beds for an unbelievable $249. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room on sale. Plus, up to 48 months, no interest. Store-wide, the President's Day event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. The number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
KC Beauty Mart is celebrating their grand opening on Van Avenue. Casey's has thousands of hair products for your every need. Over 400 wigs in both human and synthetic hair, and more than 200 styles of track hair. You'll find clothing, hats, accessories, and much more. Casey Beauty Mart is your one-stop shop, and we're located on Van Avenue next to the Family Dollar near Bilo. Open daily from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., and on Sundays from 12 p.m. until 6 p.m. So visit us today at KC Beauty Mart.
Discover Card, how can I help you?
Oh. You're real?
You know I'm real. With our new card, we're always here to talk.
Well, that's good, because I don't have time for machines.
Some companies just don't appreciate the power of conversation.
Real people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm calling the land of machines.
And with their robot voices.
Oh, I don't like those machines. Oh.
Now, how can I help you?
Oh. I don't even remember.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Talk to a real person. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
You're listening to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM, WEOA. We encourage you to call into this live program at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. You can also listen on the World Wide Web at 1400 AM, WEOA.com. We thank our guests for coming in today. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Thanks, everybody. Welcome back. We were talking to James and telling his story so honestly with us. We'd gotten to the point, James, where you said at 21 already your value system was collapsing because of the addiction. So we kind of ended there before commercial.
Yes, ma'am. And like I said, I was not in my right mind. I was doing things that I never dreamed I was going to be doing or that I saw other people doing and saying, if I'm not like them, I'm not that bad. If I'm okay as long as I'm not doing what they're doing, stealing from my family, but taking money from different accounts or jewelry and selling it or pawning stuff. I mean, everything that I had, if it wasn't bolted down or something that I wouldn't get in trouble for getting rid of mine, I was going to sell it to get what I needed. And it even got to the point when I was about 22 to going on 23 that I ran out of things to sell, ran out of money, and I had a friend whose dad was a physician, and he was able to get a prescription pad and write out prescriptions to me, and we would go get them filled at all these smaller pharmacies thinking we wouldn't get caught, that as long as we went to different
for
places,
oxycodone.
We were getting 120 at a time for right around $100, which on the street, 100 of them, 120 of them would be several thousand dollars. I mean,
right.
So in my mind, I was
thinking...
What
do they sell for a pill?
About a dollar a milligram, sometimes more.
My God.
You know, just depends on who you know.
They come in lots of different milligrams?
Yes, ma'am. Different milligrams that vary. And in my mind, I was getting a great deal. You know, I was getting what would cost me several thousand dollars for $100. And we were doing that a couple times a week. And I was sitting pretty. I was selling drugs at the time to pay for my gas, for food, or whatever I needed, and also had plenty of drugs to do.
God, you definitely went into a whole different sphere.
Oh, yeah, I completely did a 180.
Now selling and bad selling prescriptions.
And, you know, completely not using my mind, breaking the law, and not even considering that a couple years down the road this could come back to haunt me, which it did.
Mm-hmm.
But
at the time, your drugged head thought, hey,
oh, yeah,
this
I thought
is
I had
easy
it made,
street.
And I wasn't thinking more than 10 minutes, you know, into the future. As long as I had a pill, you know, in my pocket,
It never occurred to you this isn't right?
Oh, I knew it wasn't right. I mean,
I knew that something was wrong.
I knew that what I was doing with the prescriptions, I knew that if I got caught, I mean, I could go to prison or it would be some serious jail time. Or
not even the legal, though. Didn't you realize your mental and spiritual, emotional health and value system had just gone in the toilet?
I mean, I would occasionally think about how bad I felt for hurting my family, not necessarily myself, but my mom, my grandpa, who's been like a father figure to me. It just how much it would break their hearts to see what I was doing. But as far as for myself, I got to the point where if I was to die, I wouldn't have really cared. I was pretty dead. I mean, I was pretty hopeless. Which now that you know, you've known me for a while, you know that's completely not who I am. I mean, I'm
not at all.
And when I look back, I think that it's almost like I've lived two separate lives.
Good way to describe it. Absolutely.
You know, like I've been in a cloud or in a fog for several years, and just that's not who I was. And I've burned some bridges with people and hurt people a lot, and I'm still trying to make up for that and get back to where I was before. But I don't think I'll ever 100% be like I was before, but
right.
I think that I can get back to being close to that way, maybe a better person through this whole experience.
Definitely more mature. So, James, do you think young people, because you were in the college scene, you were a young person, do you think it ever does hit them that what they're doing is hurting everyone?
Probably not until it's too late.
Till they're caught.
Yeah, till they're caught.
So don't even go there in your brain. I guess the addiction,
once you're consumed by it, it's just
that compulsion.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It's hard to even describe how it just eats at you, and it's always in your mind, always on the back
obsession,
of your brain.
Obsession, compulsion.
You're just obsessed, and you don't... It's not that I don't think you don't really care about it, but you just don't want to think about it because...
Your brain's hijacked, literally.
You're not thinking in your right mind.
So you were really going
down
by
now.
So
I was really out there. I had a friend that had went to Western with me that had moved back to Henderson, and we were using together. And he had moved back in with his parents, and they were Elvering at the mall or something, and he had ended up having a seizure with his family, and they had to take him to the hospital, and it was because of the Xanax that he was taking. He had got off the Xanax, and it caused him to have a seizure. But his mom had gone through his cell phone and saw some text messages that we had sent back and forth, and it would describe what our use was and how we were using it and all different things. And she knew my mom pretty well, so she called her, and my mom called me about 1 o'clock in the morning, and
that's worse
said
than
she
the
had
judge.
Something to talk to me about, and she knew what I was doing, and I needed to come over. And of course, I knew what was going on because I'd heard that my friend had had a seizure and all this stuff. So I kind of put two and two together, and I went over to my mom's, and not even wanting to quit, not even wanting to go to rehab, just going over there to please her.
And, get out of the heat.
Yeah, definitely. And we looked at some different treatment facilities, and we decided to go to Brentwood in Newburgh, and it is a great place.
Yes.
It saved my life more than once. So
more than once. Yeah. So if you've been through treatment once, don't give up if you have to go back. Sometimes it's more than once.
Sometimes the second go around is the one that really opens your eyes. But that was December of 2011.
And that was just to get the heat off
with mom. That was just to basically get the heat off my back. And I stayed there for 14 days and went through the program, got out, was going to meetings, didn't get a sponsor though. I was kind of halfway working the program. I didn't really want to stay clean. I just wanted to get clean for a few months and then be able to go back to use it on the weekends or maybe just whenever I was, you know.
Moderate
yeah,
use.
Yeah, just moderate use. And I was clean for roughly about six months.
Really?
And I had a friend that lived down the road, and he was going to out of state to get heroin. And I had never done the heroin before. I'd done the pills and everything, but I'd always heard that it was so much better and all this. And he kind of convinced me to go to drive him up there and back for a little, to pay me a little bit to go up and back with him. So I started doing that. And
you met him in treatment?
This is a guy I grew up with that lives in my neighborhood.
But you had been 6 months clean.
I'd been 6 months clean.
But gravitated back to the people again.
And started gravitating back to the people that I didn't need to hang around.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I can go up there and I could use some extra money I won't use. Of course, he was using all the time.
Listen to that insanity. Yeah.
And it didn't take but about 3 or 4 trips up there, and I was right back to where I was, but with the heroin instead of the pills. And way worse the second time than I was the first time. And that started about the first part of June, I guess, something like that.
So is it true that addictive disorders continue progressing even
yes,
when you're clean?
You start off
right
where you were. I mean, there's no, you know, getting your tolerance back
again.
And all that, building back up. Mm. You start where you left off, and you take off. And I didn't ever look back. But on July the 4th, I was going outside to my truck to go out for the 4th of July, and there was 2 Henderson police officers behind my truck.
On July 4th?
On July 4th. And
red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. Bars and stripes forever for James on
yes.
July 4th. Whoa.
So I was shocked by that, but they were actually there to tell me that in my neighborhood, I parked too far out and blocked a stop sign, so they were there to tell me to move. But when they ran my license plate, it showed up that I had a felony warrant out of Vandenberg County for something they called subterfuge, which I didn't know what it was.
Prescription.
The police officers in Henderson didn't even know what it was, but they ended up taking me to jail in front of my mom and the whole neighborhood and all this. And it turns out that police in Evansville had been investigating me and the other guys that were filling these prescriptions for about a year, and they had issued warrants for arrest for the prescription fraud. So not only had I started using again, but I was arrested on a felony warrant for prescription fraud. So I was looking around like, what have I got myself into now? Just a couple months ago, I was doing good. I was clean. And then now all this has happened. So I get a lawyer, and I go to court and do all that, and I'm on probation. But this whole time, I'm in active drug addiction and trying to hide it the best way
now.
I can. Yeah. I'm lying to my mom, and I'm lying to my lawyer. I'm lying to the judge,
sure.
My probation officer. I'm telling her I'm clean. And to my best knowledge, they're all buying it, so I'm thinking I'm good. And then I don't know what happened. One day I had a random drug test for my probation, and I couldn't. I'd been doing good enough to where I can get clean enough, just enough to pass the drug test, and then I would be right back.
Do you think that's
out.
What a lot of addicts do? They know when they're going in to see their PO, so they regulate their use and get clean a few days before.
Especially if you're not physically dependent where you're going to be, you know, sick. I got to the point where if I didn't have it, I was going to be sick.
Right.
So I got to, and then after that comes the point, I don't even care if I go to jail. I'm going to go in there and have a dirty drop, and whatever happens, happens.
Mm. Kind of like a learned helplessness,
oh, yeah.
Almost.
But you can definitely manipulate the system if you know when they're coming.
For a while,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For a while, but it won't last forever.
No.
So I had a dirty drop for my probation, and of course I lied, like a good addict does, and told them that my urine should be clean. I don't know what the deal was. I haven't done anything in so long, and blah, blah, blah. And they sent it to a lab, and got it tested.
Bought
me a few more days, and then I was looking around, and I was thinking, you know, I'm 25 years old now. I have a college degree. I have run my life plenty good up to this point. I'm going to go get some help and try to give this a second chance. And I went back to Brentwood this time on, let's see, October 11th, I believe is when I went, and went at it a completely different angle this time. I went in on my own, wanting to quit and wanting to seek help and learn as much as I can and get better.
So the difference was you were taking yourself
with
an open mind and ready to
absolutely.
The second time.
Yes, ma'am. And I stayed at Brentwood another 14 days again, and then did the outpatient for 2 months. Really worked hard at going to the 90 meetings in 90 days, getting the outside therapist that helps a lot, just to have someone to talk to other than, you know, your family or your friends, someone that's been there and knows what, you know, you're going through. Because it is, I mean, it's a struggle. Still, to this day, it's still hard for me sometimes. But with the good supporting cast around you, it's not impossible. And I started going to meetings, did the 90 meetings in 90 days. I got a sponsor, really worked the program. I actually had a friend that I used to use with a few years ago that had went to a treatment facility for about a year and moved back to Henderson. And now we were always good friends, but now we're even closer. We go
buddies
to
in
AA
recovery.
Meetings together.
Isn't
and
that
go to,
great?
You know, go to church together. And if he catches me slipping, he'll call me out on it real quick and vice versa with him.
That's so important.
And it's crazy to look back and think, you know, we were running and gunning together.
Junkies
I never
together
thought we
now.
Were going to be going to meetings together and getting sober together.
That's
so
awesome.
He's been a big, big help in my life. And I had to...
I guess we got to take a break. We just got the little noise. So, James, don't go away. Radio Rehab, don't go back. We're hearing about James' story of addiction, and I think we'll come back and hear about his recovery. And if you have questions or any concerns, don't hesitate to call us. We'll be right back.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Ashley makes great furniture.
And they make it affordable.
When Ashley Furniture Home Store, the number one name in furniture, holds its President's Day event, you want to be there. Get sofas for an amazing $349. Queen beds for an unbelievable $249. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room on sale. Plus, up to 48 months, no interest. Store-wide, the President's Day event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. The number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander. Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found right here on Magic 98.5 FM and 1400 AM.
Listen Monday through Friday at 7:45 a.m. for your Live Smart Tip of the Day, sponsored by Vectren. These weekly tips provide you with some free and low-cost ways to keep your energy costs under control during the winter heating season. To manage your account or to learn about Vectren rebates or other conservation tips, log on to www.vectren.com. Your Live Smart Tip of the Day is heard here on 1400 a.m. and the new Magic 98.5 FM.
Don't wait for your tax refund. Get your RAC pre-fund at Rent-A-Center. Right now, you're pre-approved to buy any name brand flat screen TV, computer, appliance, or furniture set up to $2,500. Take it home today and pay it off in 90 days, same as cash. Everyone's pre-approved for the RAC pre-fund. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details. Pre-approved means no credit check or credit required. Final amount of pre-fund eligibility based on available income. 90 days, same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
We're back talking to James and hearing about his last bout of going through treatment again and how that was different for him this time because he really wanted it. So, James, you were saying this last time you went through treatment, don't get discouraged if you have to go more than one time, but this last time you were ready.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, if you're going to go to treatment, you're going to have to go because you want to go and because you want to quit, because if you go because your parents want you to quit or your spouse or sister or brother, it's not going to be a waste of time, because if you're not wholeheartedly going to work at it 100%, then you're going to be wasting your time, because it is something that you have to give 100% effort. It's not going to come easy. You're retraining your brain how it thinks and how it works, because, I mean, you're used to, you know, waking up and – or I was used to waking up and getting a drug and then going to work and getting something at lunch and having something when I'm sad or having something when I'm not in a good mood or things like that. And you just got to learn how to deal with all the emotions that regular, normal people can deal with without having to drink or use drugs over. So you're kind of like learning how to relive. Like I said, I feel like I've lived two lives almost, and now I'm kind of getting back into how I used to be. But going through Brentwood the second time was by far the best thing that's ever happened to me. I have learned more about myself in the last 120 days is how long I've been clean than I've ever known about myself the whole time I've been here. I think I'm a more caring person now. I'm more open to listening to people, trying to help others. I'm still working on building a good relationship back up with my family, my mom, my grandpa, because I just lied so much to them and took so much and went through the whole treatment thing the first time and told them and swore up and down I wasn't going to use again and wasn't going to relapse and all this. And, of course, they don't have any addiction or any type of problem, so they can understand, but yet they kind of don't understand. And it's just going to take time to build that relationship back up. But drugs took everything from me that I've ever had, as far as physical things, emotionally. I was just numb to everything, and it almost cost me my family, which is the most important thing, because I was completely isolating myself. I mean, I'd go to Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner and stay just long enough to eat. I wouldn't even stay to open presents. I would be gone, get the Christmas money, of course, first, and then be gone.
Right.
Because I didn't care about what would happen being with them. And my grandparents, who are older now, my grandmother, who's actually had a stroke a few days ago and is in intensive care in the hospital right now. And
that's
I don't know
hard.
If she's going to make it or not, but I know that I can be there today and be sober with my family and deal with those emotions
that.
And feel that and not be hiding or
wanting
leaving
to
the hospital to go find something or having somebody bring me something to the hospital. I can be there with my family and for my family, and that's a good feeling. Even though we're dealing with a difficult situation, I don't have to use over it, and that's something that I feel really good about. And then, like I said, going to the meetings, going to AA, getting a sponsor, and working the program was one of the things that different that I did this time that I didn't do the last time. And I think that has made a world of difference also, just having that support
meetings there
and listening to people who've been there and been clean for multiple years and how they've done it, and that it's not impossible to do if you put a little bit of effort into it, that you can do it. at a meeting, I heard someone say that if you go at your recovery just half as hard as you go went at getting your drugs, that you will succeed with
no doubt. Yes.
And I believe that firmly.
So are you mainly going to meetings in Henderson?
Yes, ma'am. I go to meetings.
So people could find you
Henderson.
At those?
Oh, absolutely.
Weaverton Group.
That's
look
by the
for
YMCA.
James.
And it's a great meeting. There's a lot of good recovery there.
Are there a lot of young people? Do you think that matters?
There's several young people. Like I said, I got my friend that goes with me, mm-hmm. and then he knows some other people that were younger that go. So I think the younger people being there helps someone that's in their teens or 20s that want to go to meetings, that don't want to be around a bunch of 50 or 60 or 40 year olds or whatever.
Right.
They got kind of the stigma that it's just a bunch of old alcoholics
that
sit in there, but it's not. I mean, there's plenty of people that are in their 20s that
I was just
early in recovery.
This morning having some coffee with a friend of mine, John Browning, that used to run all the centers here mm-hmm. in town, and we were talking about how if they're 40 and over, that you still have some pure alcoholics,
mm-hmm.
you know, that alcohol was their only drug of choice. But if they're under 40, mm-hmm. you rarely see anybody anymore that just is drinking.
I noticed that too. But even if you have just strictly a drug problem, don't be intimidated or not go to an AA meeting just because you think it's for alcohol. I mean, they do have NA and AA in different other groups as well, but it's more of where you feel comfortable, where you fit in. I mean, alcohol was my second choice.
Love.
Yeah. Drugs were my first love. And like I said, I've been to NA and AA, and I felt more comfortable just at the AA meetings.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of where you fit in. It all revolves around the same concept of a 12-step program and the sponsor and the higher power and just learning more about yourself
mm-hmm.
and opening up. And it's a really good program. And
yeah, there's like 180 AA meetings a week in Evansville.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I mean, I go to Brentwood. Brentwood has meetings.
Yes.
Several nights a week, so I try to go over there to back where I got clean from.
And help the newcomer.
Good to go over there and see the people that are just checking in, that are trying to get clean. And if you can help just one person out, that it makes a huge difference.
It really does. Do you get tempted to drink? Because I know a lot of folks that ended up doing more drugs in their alcoholism think that they can still drink.
I didn't mention that at first, but the first time I went to Brentwood, I got out, and they told me no drinking, no drugs. And I thought, well, I didn't have a huge problem with drinking, so I'm going to drink. I'm not going to use drugs, but I'll have a beer or whatever on the river at downtown or something. And I think
so
that
you
also
really six
no, I wasn't really
100%.
Yeah,
100. Clean.
I was clean from my
clean from drugs.
Drugs, yes. But
a lot of people have that thought
completely, because I mean your mind's still going to be altered from the alcohol, and eventually, my thinking was that the alcohol is just not what I'm looking for. It's not the high that I'm trying to get. This is not what I'm feeling. But I'm already intoxicated, so I'm going to try to find what I want.
Right.
And it just kind of leaves me craving something else that what I was really looking for. So I completely abstained from everything. And being 25, I know I still have some friends that go out and drink and
oh my
and
God,
do all
yeah,
that.
You're
so
right in the middle of the roaring 20s. You guys are like vampires. You stay up all night.
I still stay up, but I don't go out to the bars. And I still hang out with some friends that drink, but they don't have a problem. But I just don't go out with them. I mean, I see them. We'll go out to eat or go watch a movie or do whatever, go play golf. But I just abstain from the whole thing. And I found it's a lot easier to stay sober if you don't go around the people and places that
or like
that
you
are
said
using.
You've made up your mind that your recovery this time is 100% mm-hmm. abstinence from every mood altering chemical, liquid or dry.
Yes, ma'am.
Even
and
K2 and K3.
Oh yeah,
and
the marijuana. I mean, anything that
the spices
that alters my mind, I don't use.
Yeah,
and of course, like I said, I was on probation the first time when I got caught with the dirty drop, and then they were going to revoke my probation, but I felt fortunate to get a second chance at that. And realize that jail is not a place where I want to be. And that's, if I was to pick up again, I'm either going to be dead or in jail. I mean, that's the only two things that are going to come of it,
mm-hmm.
is I'm either going to end up back in rehab again for the third time, which I don't want to do. But if sometimes it takes a third time,
mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that good that can come out of me picking up a drink or a drug again. And I've finally learned that. And I'm still on probation now, but I'm doing good. And I think that was a little bit of a motivating factor, but that wasn't, I mean,
it can't
that
cure
wasn't,
it.
No, that wasn't
no.
what.
I wish
to do
you
it.
Could legislate sobriety. No. Wouldn't that be great?
Absolutely.
It can't.
Like I said, whenever I was using, I didn't care whether I went to jail
no.
or not.
It was a gamble. Yeah.
But now I'm I'm completely focused. And
lucky you have a probation officer that's understanding.
Yeah. She's been great.
She's from Kentucky, too.
She's tough, but she's good, and I love her.
Very tough, she's been compassionate.
Been very helpful for me, and I think she sees a big change in me, too. So we always talk about Kentucky basketball and cut up in there, and she's become kind of like a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind going to see her.
Well, I think we don't understand. They have a job to do, too, and that's protect their community from people like us if we're using. So,
and I wasn't even mad whenever she told me she was going to have to revoke my probation. I mean, I knew that
I lied to her.
And she said, if you'd just been honest with me and not lied.
Somebody's calling.
You know, okay.
Don't go away.
All right.
Hi, welcome to Radio Rehab.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Jacqueline Robinson.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing fairly well. I would just like to say to the young gentleman that I see him being a light for his friends and maybe the community attendance or wherever he belongs to. And God said that you can do all things Christ that strengthens you. And I see a real good light in him and tell him that I said to hold on and pray each and every day and every night. And as he goes through his trials and his tribulations, search the scriptures, and God will give him scriptures that's going to help him. And God can use that man more than a conqueror, no matter what he's been through. Don't focus on so much what you used to do.
Right.
Focus on what you're going to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if you focus on what you used to do, it may throw you in a back set. Because I had to learn that, too. Don't focus on what Sister Jackie used to do out in the world. Focus on what I'm doing today for Jackie and Jesus and for God. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you do that, you will come out more than a conqueror.
Well,
thank you.
Everything you say is going to be a number one winner because you're going to trust in his word.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. Yes.
And that's all I would like to say. And y'all pray for me and my family because I'm going through a lot, too. But I'm holding on. I'm keeping Jesus in my life. And I fall all the time, too.
Yes,
I say and do things that I shouldn't say and do. But I try to not get in that ghetto world because it'll take me right back out to the street to do some things I used to say and do. I might have not did drugs or nothing, but I did other stuff. But then God said, throw the first stone at them.
Right.
Throw the first stone.
Thank you. Yes.
So I just love y'all, and that's all I had to say.
Oh, thank
and when God
tells
you to say something, you say what God said, don't add on.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
So I'm
going to
hang up, and
calling.
I love y'all, and y'all pray for me.
Yes, ma'am.
You got
sure
it.
Will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. See, people are hearing you. You're talking about your hope and faith, and we will pray for Sister.
It feels good to try to help some people out. And if I can just help one person maybe get into recovery or just stay in recovery that might be struggling, I feel like I've done a lot more than what I've ever could have done back when I was using. I mean, like I said, being an addict has completely changed my whole outlook on life, and I'm more compassionate, more caring, and I just want to try to help people out as much as I can because I know what someone that's going through active addiction is going through and how hard it can be sometimes to reach out and to get that help because, I mean, if you've never been before, you don't know what to expect, and it's hard to even imagine living your life without
right.
the drugs and alcohol, but
well,
it can
like
be done.
Yeah, like she said, it's a lot of prayer, but prayer with action.
Oh, yes, ma'am,
you
absolutely.
Can't just get it praying. You got to get out and
yes,
and
ma'am.
If you pray
put
for potatoes, you still got to get the hoe, right?
Yes,
you still
got
to do some work. So, well, thank you for calling in. Please continue to call in, anybody that wants to, and share with us or ask James anything you want to know that would be helpful for you. We've got to take a break for our sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Ashley makes great furniture.
And they make it affordable.
When Ashley Furniture Home Store, the number one name in furniture, holds its President's Day event, you want to be there. Get sofas for an amazing $349. Queen beds for an unbelievable $249. Every bedroom, living room, and dining room on sale. Plus, up to 48 months, no interest. Store-wide, the President's Day event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. The number one name in furniture. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Black History Month, and every month, Allstate agents believe in the power of good.
Take Agent John Sadler in Birmingham, Alabama. One roof at a time, he helps give senior citizens with no options a place to call home. Raising funds, reconstruction, renewing a man's sense of spirit. Little by little, John's small acts make a lasting impact. All across the country, every month of the year, agents of good are making history. Find an agent of good in your community at allstate.com.
The joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately until now. Introducing the complimentary two-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Claim your sample today. 1-800-922-8983. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex is available at GNC, but you can only get your complimentary two-week sample by calling 1-800-922-8983. 1-800-922-8983.
Save big on hundreds of items for your home at Macy's Home Sale. Take 50% off all down and down alternative comforters and pillows. Samsonite, Delsey, Travel Pro, and Ricardo Luggage, 50% off plus a $50 mail-in Macy's gift card. Get a Belgique 14-piece cookware set closeout $99.99. Take 40% off all Charter Club Damask 500 thread count sheet sets. Plus, get an extra 20% off when you use your WOW Savings Pass or Macy's Star Rewards card. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Hi, we're back in conclusion talking to James and hearing his candid, honest story of a horrible, fast progressing addiction. James, we were talking at break about if there are people listening to us that have family members. I mean, you're still college age. What would parents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, what would you recommend if you see somebody and love somebody that you know is in trouble? What do you think family members can do to help?
Come at them in a caring way.
Okay.
Set them down, maybe talk to them and let them know that, you know, they have a problem and that it's not going to go away on its own. It's only going to get worse. And I know that someone that's in active addiction might not always want to hear that or listen to that. And you got to try to, I know it's hard to be understanding with them. But you also have to be firm and tell them that, you know, if they want to go to maybe a meeting or go to a treatment center, that they have to want to go on their own and to get clean on their own, that, you know, they can't go, for, like I said, for your parents or for anybody else. It has to be for yourself. Mm-hmm. But let them know that that option is there and that you're concerned about them, but also don't enable them if it means not letting them live at their house.
Or, really?
Yeah, I mean,
kick them out on the streets.
I mean, that's something that I was told after this second go around, that if, you know, I was to do anything again, that they've helped me twice. My family's paid for my treatment, has helped me in financial ways and emotionally and everything. That there comes a time where you can only take so much, and you have to cut the cord, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing for me too, is knowing that your family's not going to be there, and that you're going to completely be on your own is something that was a motivator.
Could be a wake-up call for some.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, just not enable them, not if you know they're taking the money that you're giving them to get drugs, don't give them the money, or don't allow them a way to get money or access to drugs or whatever.
Do you think it was a good idea that your mother read your texts? Do you think for high school kids especially, parents should patrol the texts? You can learn a lot.
That was a big thing that, you know, she caught it from was the text message, because I mean, that's
you're
all.
You're not even thinking
you do
and typing that stuff.
Yeah, you text
yeah.
and send it and don't delete it off your phone or something. Then, I mean, that's a big thing to keep an eye on, is the text messages, because that's how everybody basically communicates today. And that's how she found out the first time. And even though the first time didn't work for me, I believe it still helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew what I needed to do the second go around, the second time, and I knew where to go.
I don't think any intervention's a waste.
No, I mean, any time that you can get someone help is better than nothing.
It's a start.
And if it gets their foot in the door and gets them thinking about, you know, recovery or being sober, then that's always
right,
a positive thing.
Right. So what do you think we need to understand are some of the challenges recovering people have, especially in the young culture, in the 20s?
Like I said, the age, being so young,
mm-hmm.
And having friends that aren't addicts or aren't alcoholics or anything, that are going out and partying or going out to the bars and having an occasional drink, I mean, it's hard to sit at home on a Friday or Saturday night and not be out with your friends that you know they're going out and having a good time. But you just gotta kind of look towards the future and say, you know, this is for my best interest. I'm protecting myself first. You gotta be concerned with your sobriety first and put that before anything.
Does it help, or do you sometimes have to think maybe they're having a good time, but I sure wouldn't?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to think that
what is
a
good time?
I'm a little bit different than them.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough one to accept.
And do with the drink or do what they do and not have a problem with it and not think about it till next weekend. Mm-hmm. But if I did it, I'll think about it in the morning.
Your body metabolizes it differently.
And the next day and the next day and it'll just spiral out of control.
Do you think that's one of the major challenges for your age group, to accept that you're different than other people when it comes to drinking?
I believe so, because, I mean, it's so widely accepted now, and everybody's drinking or doing something, and it's just the age is something that, you know, I think keeps a lot of younger people from going to recovery or staying in recovery.
But you were saying there are quite a few number of young
Henderson
people now
that are going to meetings and heavily involved with recovery, and actually you can tell that are actually working the program and want to stay sober. Because when you go to meetings, you can kind of tell who's really there for the long haul, who wants to stay clean and who doesn't, who's just there from court ordered or kind of, you know, just kind of halfway doing it. So,
but I know some people that have been court ordered that really
doesn't work, not at all,
but there's a lot of papers to be signed.
Ma'am. And I mean, even if you don't agree with the AA or have been and don't want to try it or didn't like it, just go to a couple more. I was told to fake it till you make it type of thing.
Oh, that's a good one. Fake it till you make it.
Because if you go long enough, you're going to hear something that somebody says that's going to change your life or help you out. I mean, it's a great program. It's been around this long for a reason.
So where can people find you if they're looking for you?
In a meeting?
In
Henderson. It's Weaverton meeting.
It's called Weaverton.
And it's by the YMCA in Henderson. I think it's Cloutie Park Drive, I think is the name of it.
So people could look up Weaverton?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Weaverton Group.
And then, like you said, there's a ton of meetings over in Evansville. I mean, there's no reason not to be able to go to
them. Oh, yeah, 7 in the morning till midnight.
Yeah. I mean, they're all hours of the day. And like I said, even Brentwood has meetings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday from 6 to 7. And those are good meetings, too. I mean, you get to go in there and you see people that are just now getting clean. I mean, that are checked into Brentwood, people that are about to leave.
Where you came from, huh?
Absolutely. And then you see the people that went through Brentwood that are still going to the meetings that have been clean for several years.
Right.
So you get to see the whole spectrum.
And you have that warm center in Henderson.
We do have the warm center. And that's an awesome place. And they go to several meetings at Weaverton. And there's a lot of good recovery there, too. That's a great place.
Yeah.
A great place to go.
So there's lots of places if people want to get
well. Yes, ma'am. The options are out there. It's just you have to make the decision to go.
and look for them. One last question. You said that you knew before you ever started using there was something different in the way you were wired. There was just a discomfort. Some people might call it anxiety. Mm-hmm. Have you had to go back to deal with that in your sobriety yet, or have you kind of aged out of that?
I still find myself dealing with that some, but you have to kind of realize that I'm different than other people, but that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm made like I am for a reason, and I'm okay with it now. I mean, I don't have to worry about who I fit in with or who I am like. I'm my own person, and I'm comfortable in my own skin. And like I said, I don't think that that would have happened if I hadn't been through everything that I've been through. So.
And James, you're awesome.
Well, thank you.
You really are, and you wouldn't even know.
I know it.
That you have that.
I don't see it, but
little
I like
insecurity
I like
inside. But it sounds like you're on top of it instead of it on top of you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely.
And I know you've done a lot of counseling, a lot of meetings, a lot of
getting out
a lot
there
of helping others, community service.
Yes, helping others is a big thing.
And that's got to help
you
your self-esteem.
Pride in,
yeah,
knowing that, like I said, if you can just help one person, that you've, I mean, you've changed somebody's life and for a good way, and that makes you feel like, I mean, it's an incredible feeling. It's the high that
it really
you can't
is.
Get from drugs and
kinda
alcohol.
Well, Lulu's talking to you. Kind of like what you said about being with your family today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And that, like I said, that's a feeling that no drug or no alcohol can ever give you. I mean,
that you can be of service.
Amazing. Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Well, go be with your family today.
Will.
What
Thank
a gift.
You. Yes, ma'am.
And will you come back?
Absolutely.
We want to have you back for sure. We need you back here. We need young people in recovery to tell us how to do it.
I will do it.
Thank you very much.
Lisa.
Radio Rehab, it's been a great Saturday, as always, talking to people that can share with us from the real deal. Next week, we'll be doing Snowflake with hundreds of middle school kids trying to carry our message there. So until now and next Saturday, don't forget to do the next right thing.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
Thanks for listening to WEOA, the station playing today's R&B and old school. We love our listeners, and we love giving away prizes. Fortunately, we have more listeners than prizes, so when you or a member of your household wins a prize, you must wait 30 days before winning again. Also, when you call us, remember, all calls are recorded. Only the real good ones make it on the air. Thanks again for listening to the station playing today's R&B and old school. WEOA 1400, The Pump.
Prescriptions for Life airs Monday through Friday at 9:30 a.m.